This morning, our scripture goes to Psalm 37, a psalm of David, as he writes. And we read from verses 1 through 9 of this 37th psalm. I invite you to hear the word of God as David has recorded it. Words for today, I pray. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider the text, I'd like this morning for us to focus on what it is to have a comforting faith. Sometimes faith is all we have, and sometimes faith is all we need. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world today, and not just in our little corner of the world's existence, but all over the world. The North Koreans appear to be more and more interested in taking over Taiwan, firing off test missiles and developing what might be a nuclear submarine. The Russians continue in their efforts to take control of Ukraine while hacking into sensitive data of our nation, exposing what we once thought was private and secure information. American citizens now find themselves being threatened with unemployment by the government that they've served for years. Every year, there is a new release from the Center for Disease Control warning us about another virus or flu epidemic, but now our nation has disavowed any relationship with the CDC, leaving American citizens sitting on the ledge of serious health risk. Now more than ever before, we are coming to realize what it means to live in a global community where what happens on one side of the ocean can affect us all. All of these issues are enough to cause us concern about what tomorrow may hold. As the Temptations used to sing, it's a ball of confusion. That's what the world is today. And yet in the midst of that confusion, we can find a place of comfort and security. It won't be in an underground bunker. It's a place where we must encounter and trust the one who gives life and gives it abundantly. It's in our faith. Fears in the air, tensions everywhere, Unemployment's rising fast. And we find ourselves alarmed by every circumstance. A commercial plane crashes into a military helicopter. People on both aircrafts die in frigid waters of the Potomac, and the leader of our nation blames the crash on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. We've gotten to the point that almost everything gives us concern. What's in our future? If you walk into a bank with a gun and take the money, you will most certainly be arrested if caught and go to jail. But if you walk into a corporate office and steal the money, they reward you with a giant take-home pay called a golden parachute, and you don't have to go to jail. AI. Artificial intelligence is now the center of our attention, but instead of warring over TikTok and whether or not it should continue to exist, the war is over a new Chinese app called DeepSeek. We live in a time when 1% of the people hold over 90% of the wealth. And those who have helped them to become wealthy are forced to live on meager wages, and some of those who have contributed to their wealth are being evicted from the land that captured their hopes and gave their dreams life. Now those dreams are turning into nightmares because people hungry for power are being empowered by corrupt power, with help from the sycophants greedy for the same corrupt power. These issues and more raise an uncertainty in us, uncertainties which leave us anxious and wondering if we are going to be next on the list. The issues we face today are not the same issues of the people as the psalmist wrote these words. They had their own contemporary concerns to raise their anxiety levels. This psalm is what is known in Hebrew literature as an acrostic poem. Each verse beginning with the next letter of the alphabet. We miss the alphabetical beauty of that in translation from Hebrew to English. But it's also different in that it's a poem based on wisdom literature. It's an invitation to those who read it to be wise in their life decisions. It speaks of two groups of people. One group are those who are less than honorable and don't mind breaking the law to get what they want. There's no level to which they won't stoop to gain an advantage. And what's more, their apparent success is seen by those who live in their community. The other group is being advised to ignore what seems to be the advantages of those who appear to have it all and to commit their way to the Lord God, waiting patiently for God to act in God's own time. Somebody tell Jesus to hurry up. I can imagine that it must be difficult to watch those who violate the laws of the community live without judgment or punishment for their wrongdoings. I imagine it must be detrimental to those feeling left out and walked over to have to choose what the right thing to do is. But that's where God's wisdom takes over. It's at the point that we see evil prospering and yet know that God is in control, and because of our faith, our future and our security is not in danger. The faith that we have in God's faithfulness should provide us with the comfort we need to live. The events of the world can certainly cause us to be concerned. There are so many instances where it seems that those whose lifestyles are bathed in evil always seem to get away without being punished or held accountable. And it's not new. Even the prophet Jeremiah spoke to us and said, "You will win, O Lord, if I make a claim against you. Yet I shall present charges against you." And that's bold when you start presenting charges against God. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are the workers of treachery at ease? He says, you have planted them and they have taken root. They spread, they even bear fruit. You are present in their mouths, but far from their thoughts. There always seems to be a discrepancy between that which the evil receive and that which the faithful are left to deal with. They seem to prosper while we watch in horror and disgust at the things they get away with. The bankers steal our money, often charging us exorbitant interest rates while we seem helpless to do anything about it, walking away with millions of dollars when they get caught. The name Al Capone once brought to mind, and still does to some extent, the idea of crime and criminal and gangsters and violence and corruption of an organized variety. But that wasn't always the case. During Capone's early years in organized crime, people viewed Al Capone as a respected citizen, a sort of Robin Hood who did good in the midst of suffering. And in 1930, students from Northwestern University were asked to name the outstanding personages of the world. And Al Capone made the list, along with George Bernard Shaw and Mahatma Gandhi and Albert Einstein. But just a year later, in 1931, he attended a football game at Northwestern University and was booed out of the stands, having to leave the stadium in humiliation. He was convicted of income tax evasion and ended up in Alcatraz. And during his time there, he worked in the prison shoe shop and ended up saying, and it is quoted, "I was supposed to be a big shot and I've wound up in a shoe shop." What kind of screwed up, lousy world is this? And the answer is simple. It's a world where God is still God, and those who choose to live dishonoring God's laws may in fact be on top for a season, but eventually they all pay for what they've done. That's the nature of our concern. Almost 100 years later, and nothing seems to have changed. We live with the truth of God's story unfolding in our lives, and for many, it is a cause for concern. There may be indeed a reason for us to show our contempt, and at the same time, feel helpless to do anything about it. It may be that we are offended that such acts of arrogance and greed make us uncertain about the future. But these are the times we continue to live in. These are the times which continue to raise concerns among God's faithful. And so what do we do when those of us who feel powerless and find ourselves caught up in situations in which the evil seem to prosper and the unrighteous seem to have the advantage? What do we do when every indication is that those who have the most will indeed inherit the land? I'm reminded of a cartoon I read once. I think it was Pogo who said, if the meek are going to inherit the world, they're going to have to toughen up. What do we do when it seems that those who try to do right end up all wrong? Well, there are several ways to handle it. One way is to become envious of those who seem to be able to make easy money off of all of those of us who appear naive. One way is to buy into the notion that there is great gain to be made by scheming and stealing, by deceit and trickery. One way is to desire what they have so badly that we sell ourselves, our dignity and our character, to do what they do and have what they have. And yet another way is to become so incensed that we take matters into our own hands, plotting evil against those who are evil and becoming that which we despise. This may in fact be what's transpiring in this nation called America, where a convicted felon can be president and be bought by the richest man in the world and do his bidding for no other reason than to hold power. But there's also another way that speaks words of wisdom. The other way listens to the word of God. The other way shows the appropriate way to view the situation of those who scheme and deceive. And that way is to not just pursue the wisdom of God's world, but to grasp it, to possess it such that it becomes a part of our life. And so if the question is, what do we do? Then the answer is most certainly found in God's word. The answer is trusting in God. Placing our confidence in God and knowing that our God is faithful allows us to not be overly concerned about whether the evil will prosper or not. Trusting in God frees us to continue living in our faith, which tells us this God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Trusting in God frees us to continue in our faith, which reminds us that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. You see, my friends, it is in trusting and believing that God will work all things out that we can put away our anxieties. It is by trusting and believing in God that we can end all of our worries. By looking at what God has done for us in the past, we can be assured of God's faithfulness and know that God will provide for us in the days to come. Our security is found in the God who remains faithful to us. Our comfort lies in the fact that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Our peace of mind comes from our experience with God as the one who brings us through the difficult times of our lives and helps us to weather the storms that come. Our comfort is in knowing that in the comfort of our faith, we serve the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and that our God's promises never fail. And so I say to you what the psalmist says out of his wisdom: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the word, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Our faith will comfort us, and the inheritance of God's kingdom will be ours. You see, brothers and sisters, God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make our paths straight. God will do this. So we have to put aside our anger and ditch any notion of revenge, for the word of God reminds us that those thoughts only lead to the evil we deplore. We must pursue righteousness for the sake of righteousness, so that justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We must pursue righteousness, always keeping in mind the words of Jesus, who taught us that those of us who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be blessed and filled with the very things that we hunger and thirst for. And if we suffer and are persecuted for righteousness' sake, God's promise is that we will be blessed to inherit the kingdom of God. Those are God's promises to God's people. Those are the actions of people of faith who seek to please God and find comfort in their faith. Those are the spiritual actions that lead us to that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, bringing us the comfort of faith that depends on God's power and not human power, a comforting faith that depends on God's faithfulness and not human failings. It depends on God's promises and not human projections. It depends on the faithfulness of a God who has never failed us yet. So reach for comforting faith and wait patiently for the Lord. But our waiting is not a passive waiting. We must, in our waiting, resist evil in all of its forms. We must resist evil with the faith that gives us comfort in resistance. And in our resistance, we must also be still and know that God is still God all by himself. And God will provide a way for us to be vindicated and inherit the land. Those are God's promises to God's people for these times and all other troubled times. And that's God's word for God's people on today, God's day. Amen.